Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from over the weekend. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment: rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example: one side: isn't there a way to work this out so both of us have what we want? Reasonable. Second side: I want to do what I want to do. Rebellious teenager. On Saturday: can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example: the choices are to be reasonable and try to work something out or refuse to engage. But neither choice is a good one because on the one hand, I can be reasonable and open to compromising, but that does not mean anyone else will. And if I refuse to engage, I'm still not getting what I want. Assignment: what are the choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see. And then on Sunday: what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hey, Carol.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm just...
What bad choices you got?
I'm just getting off my bike. Okay, here we go. The thing that... it's not the bad choice. It's what would be... what possibility might be available if you dropped out of ego's either or. So that possibility is to, when I'm identified with ego and feeling self-hate and uncomfortable, not meeting the standards, to still feel unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So that...
and circumvent the whole mess.
Well, not in the sense... like, this happened to me yesterday. I was at a minor event, and self-hate was going, not meeting the standards, you know, feeling like I should be punished, cut off, rejected. What happens when I'm in that place, I'm going to use the word God. I feel like God mm-hmm. hates me. So I just feel mm-hmm. like that's every time, you know, that mm-hmm. I'm being hated by God. So that's
mm-hmm.
pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
So, Carol, just for everybody who thinks, wow, that's a very weird thing, that is big conditioning for an awful lot of people, because as little children, ego and God get confused. So that judgmental, punishing, always watching presence gets seen as God rather than what it is, which is ego.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
so
I could know that in my head.
It's not unusual, is it? Yeah.
Well, but I can know it in my head, and mm-hmm. this word unconditional love, it's just a word mostly. So every once in a while, and one time yesterday, there was an experience of, yeah, I'm in that awful place. I feel uncomfortable. I didn't make the mark. I'm socially awkward right now. And the mentor's here.
Mm.
It's
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
so
really...
So in that place, I'm going to project the way we've been, you know, going through this just because it was the weekend. The two bad choices are stay there and be miserable or leave and be miserable.
Yeah.
But instead, because you've been practicing, what was possible for you was to be where you were with unconditional love.
Yes. And what I'm told is the only way to have unconditional love is to meet the standard. So
you
cannot have...
Yeah, you
can't have...
We know that's not true, huh?
Well, but I believe it, though, a lot. And so to have all the discomfort, oh, my God, everybody's looking at me, or, you know, I can't believe you did that.
They all hate
whatever.
Me.
They hate me, they're looking at me, whatever, which I know is crazy, but it's and I should be, you know, rejected, to have all of that and have the mentor be there with it is a very different experience.
That's right. That's, yes, it's very different. And the importance of that is, even though the voices are saying, the only way you can have unconditional love is if you meet the standard. Oh, and by the way, Carol, you're never going to meet the standard. Therefore, you are never going to have unconditional love. That was a very believable story, right up until you had the experience of not meeting ego standard and being loved unconditionally.
Exactly. Which is a whole different,
that's
it's like
right.
a whole different, I don't know, realm or something.
Well, it is, because it doesn't, ego will still say the same thing, right? It's not going to change because of this. It's a program, right? So it'll still say the same thing. But what you know is that's not true. And it's not true because I'm supposed to believe it's not true, even though it's my experience is it is true. No, it's not true, and you know it's not true because you have had a different experience.
Right, and just one little plug for continuing on, no matter how you feel. 5 years ago, I went to my first retreat, Nothing Wrong With You, and made my first little reassurance thing based on what I heard the facilitators say, which was, one of the words was, we'll get through this together. And I recorded that because it seemed so powerful, but out of reach, you know. And I would.
Oh, yeah.
What
a nice idea.
I know. What a nice idea, right? That sounds great for someone else. But I'm going to put it on my recorder, on all my reassurance tapes, and I will hear it over and over. So for 5 years, I hear that at night, you know. We'll get through this together. Mm-hmm. We'll get through this together. And, you know, just like you say, just showing up. Just show up. Doesn't matter how rejected you feel, how awful, what stories are going on, just to hear that and then go, oh, that's what I experienced yesterday.
That was it. Yeah.
Together. In the midst of hate, there was somebody, some other presence there. And it didn't make it go away.
Well,
no, it didn't make the voices go away. Nope. But it was there. Like, it's okay for you to be at the level that you're at right now, the functioning level that you're at,
Carol,
is okay.
You know, if you are in the midst of the most awful, ugly, horrible circumstances a human being can endure, but you're in it with someone who loves you unconditionally, it's a completely different experience. Because the what's actually been going on, I'm going to project, is that empirically speaking, you've had a pretty great life, right? But you've been going through it with somebody who hated you unconditionally, right?
No matter how good things are,
Exactly, but you're still unlovable, Carol. It doesn't matter what you do, how successful you are. None of that matters, Carol, because you're inherently unlovable. And you're doing it wrong, right? And so to see how completely it flips, right? That you're right there with those same hateful voices telling you that this is a hideous circumstance and you are a hideous person and you feel love.
That's it. I mean, that's just a whole different thing.
Yes. It is the whole deal. Now, because I can't resist this kind of thing, okay? Now, imagine for a minute, and we can imagine it because it is our experience. Imagine having all that love in a life that is, empirically speaking, a good life with a good person.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Sounds good. Sounds very good.
Let's do that.
Let's do it. Yes.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Okay, go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Carol. Sherry, that we could file that conversation under practice works and to show up and trust the process, right?
Yes. Yeah. And of course, ego would say 5 years? 5 years, which of course is not true, because there were a lot of bright spots all along the way, right? But 5 years for that kind of transformation is nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I think that part of what practice is practicing, right? And that
yes.
there's a way in which, at least in my experience, one shows up with fighting the voices mm-hmm. until there's enough of the ego that falls away that the love is available when the voices are there. And then there's
yes.
a turning point where we feed the love, and that is more and more of our experience, that the awareness is expanded. And so again,
yes.
there's no recipe other than showing up and trusting the process.
Yes. Well, and Ashwini, it's what you talk about all the time. It's the realization that, so when I'm there and I'm fighting the voices and I'm trying to argue with them but I really do believe them and, you know, I'm caught in that. What I'm not seeing is what's going up against them. What's
mm.
giving me the courage and the strength and the willingness to go on? I'm not aware of that. I'm
yes.
just focused on those hateful voices and trying to survive them. And
mm-hmm.
and that's the turning point to me that you're describing, is when I realize, oh, I'm not alone.
Mm.
In fact, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's truly a practice of transformation of sight.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we're seeking is causing us to seek, and
yeah.
it's seeking us.
Yes,
it's,
and then being aware of all of it.
We talk about. Yes,
yeah.
yes. And now I recognize that. Now,
yeah.
now I know that.
Yeah.
Now the team has gone from finite to infinite.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Isata here.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, I'm so glad to be on because I'm so confused. I think I picked up a thing to accept that is kind of hard for me to accept. And so I'm in the middle of a shame storm. So much so
oh,
that
dear.
It's even hard to follow the conversations, you know. I'm being beaten
mm-hmm.
bloody. So that's fantastic mm. that I got online. Like
mm-hmm.
the previous callers, I couldn't even understand exactly what you guys were talking about because I was being bombarded by shame, you know.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
oh, well,
the thing that,
it's okay. You must be very, very close to a giant breakthrough then.
I hope so, but, you know, I'm... Well, let me tell you the thing I want to accept.
Yep.
So it
yep.
started with Auntie, the one from the Mockile Mockingbird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I want to accept my social conditioning about being a woman. That was what it started with, no?
Mm-hmm.
Like what I hate in her, in Auntie, I don't remember her name, Elizabeth maybe. Well, Auntie from Auntie.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
What I
mm-hmm.
what I hate in her, Alexandra, exactly. What I hate in her, you know, about womanhood, and what I hate in myself, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And so, when I was doing the two parts of the beliefs, the two parts of the duality, I realized it was not only about social conditioning. It was much more about leaving my femininity, you know? And so the two parts were like, for example, one part of the duality was, oh my God, I want this guy, I so want to touch his body, like lost in desire. And
mm-hmm.
another part, a random guy, so it could be any guy, he's not one specific one.
Right.
And the other
right.
one was, you shouldn't want him. You shouldn't care. This is all ego. You're disgusting. You're a perfect. And then there was, yes, but his skin is so beautiful. You know, I want to kiss it. Stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and,
help me with how this has anything to do with femininity.
I don't know, but it started from there. It's like leaving my womanhood as an object of desire and a desiring person.
Uh-huh. So women aren't supposed to feel that way.
Exactly. And this is the connection with the auntie. You know, like that she has all these rules about how a woman should behave, you know.
Uh-huh. And somehow for you, that got combined with you shouldn't have lustful responses. You should, but I mean, forget, you know, you shouldn't have lustful responses. Women are not supposed to be sexual.
Yeah, exactly. They are not supposed, and they are supposed to be independent and like the same thing that Auntie was saying, you have to dress this way, you have to do the tea to meet with your friends and bring tea and drink tea, whatever. I have other rules for how a woman should be in 2020. So, of course, I shouldn't be lusting after a man. Of course, I shouldn't enjoy being the object of a man's attention, you know.
It sounds to me, now I'm going to go out on a limb here, but it sounds to me like this is kind of a garden variety self-hate, where that's my encouragement to you. Forget it having anything to do with being a woman or being sexual or 2020, okay? And just start looking at how it's everything that ego can grab onto and say, that's wrong about you. That's what it's doing. Because I can guarantee you, Auntie did not think a woman should be independent. Now, she might have lived like that. She might have lived like that, right? She might have wanted to be the matriarch. But she certainly didn't believe. She believed little girls should grow up to be feminine so they can get a man to take care of them. And
I was saying that I have a different set of rules, but they are as stupid as Auntie's rules. I'm not saying that
there
I have the same rules as her.
Okay.
I did not explain it properly. Of course, she wasn't independent. She was the opposite.
I probably just didn't hear you properly. I just wasn't listening. I don't know what I don't know.
No, I probably didn't explain it well. I probably jumped the passage. Because the thing I was looking at, she's a victim of these stupid rules. And I'm a victim of other stupid rules, you know?
And what I'm suggesting to you is that every human being is the victim of ego's stupid rules. They're different, but that is the nature of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Get a person to believe something, get a person to believe that they are not the way they should be based on that belief, get them to, as Carol was talking about, project out onto other people how other people see them, and self-hate is going to have a feast that lasts a lifetime. So stepping back and seeing the whole process, not getting caught up in anything personal about it, might be helpful. Just seeing stupid ego rules wherever they show up.
So it has nothing to do with acceptance in this specific case.
That's right. You're just accepting that ego stupid rules. They're not something that you need to take on or take personally or attempt to live out or any of those kinds of things. But accepting that they exist and that we suffer as long as we believe they're real, we can accept that.
Fantastic. I will listen to it again, though, because I'm so bombarded by all this stuff that I'm not... Like, I understand you, but I have ego screaming in my head, I will re-listen to it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good, Isota. We know we're on the right track when ego is screaming in our head.
I'm so thankful, really. Thank you so much.
All right, well, you let me know how it goes, okay?
I will, for sure, for sure.
All right. Good.
Goodbye, Gassho.
Bye-bye, Gassho.
Thanks, Asota. Sherry, it always is process versus content, right? We're not required to accept that the content of the conditioning. We're just required to accept that conditioning exists and we suffer because of the conditioning. And so then, once we accept that the conditioning exists, we stop believing it because we've moved from in conditioned mind to seeing conditioned mind, and then we are a choice.
Yeah. And what a fun, I don't know if this is the time for it, but what a fun exercise to do, just to see conditioning everywhere. Not in a, ooh, that person is conditioned and that's wrong, but just in a, seeing brainwashing for what it is, seeing how everybody is brainwashed in all of these different ways that make for misery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Dan in Los Angeles.
Hello, Dan.
Hey. So my two bad choices are I can do what I want and the other person's angry, or I can do what they want and I'm angry about it. So all roads lead to anger.
And separation.
I didn't realize anger is yeah. That just drives the wedge right in. Okay. And in terms of what's possible, if I get out of that duality, I got a little stuck because the whole goal of the personality that I mainly identify with is to make sure people around me aren't angry. And so how can I get what I want without the other person being angry? And there's still an I want in there. That's very clear there.
Well, and Dan, there are two I wants, right? I don't want you to be angry. I do want to get what I want. So there, it's layered, right? And the assumption, of course, it sounds like is really deep, that's how it works, that relationships are basically adversarial.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a contest.
Yeah,
one
of course.
One winner, one loser, zero sum. Yeah. Okay.
Oof. One person gets to be right, and everyone else is wrong.
Right. Yeah. And so, just with that, that seems a lot to explore right there. Right. So. What is there to accept in that scenario?
Well, the immediate ego answer was that people don't like me, but that's still part of the same belief system. That there's a lot of pain there. I don't know if that's going back to childhood too much, but someone was hurt, and I guess I never really, that person's still alone.
So you're seeing all of the characters in this, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if a possibility might be, you know, just say in one relationship that you spend a lot of time in, say, where this probably gets played out more than any place else, to bring it into the light of day.
To bring life to it.
This process.
Yeah.
Into the light of day. So with somebody you find yourself in this situation with a lot, to be able to say, this is what I've realized. My ambition is to go beyond this. And so are you interested in playing this game with me? Because I mean, then you can do things like, okay, it's A, I get to do what I want to do, and the other person gets to be happy for you. And then it's B, and the other person gets to do what they want to do, and you get to practice being happy for them.
Well, that just sounds lovely.
And fun, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say fun and exciting.
Fighting suddenly and separating.
Wow. Well, thank you.
All the possibilities that you never wants us to consider.
Wow, suddenly I'm just filled with energy. Wow. So thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. You are so welcome, Dan. Have fun.
Go happy.
Go happy.
It all comes down to don't suffer, communicate. Right, Sherry?
It does, doesn't it? That's a great title. You know, we ought to write a book about that.
I know. And it's, I think, also in the Be the Person Who You Want to Find or When You're Falling Dive, which is if both of us get on the same side and look at conditioning as the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else, I think there was another caller who came in and said there was just like you practice with doing it my way and then we get to be happy and doing it your way and we get to be happy and then throwing everything into a little hat and pulling something out and doing that, mm-hmm. and we get to be happy. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Everything then turns into awareness practice, right?
Yeah.
So, we're gonna fix a meal together, say, and you know you do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's wrong, and then I don't want to cook with you because you do it wrong. Or really. Really? Okay. Show me how to do that.
Yeah.
Right? And now I'm learning something and we're having fun and I can tell you all of the voices in my head that are saying, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Why would anybody want to, right?
Yeah.
Instead of all of that being held inside and used against me and then basically used against you too.
Yeah. All right. We have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. What's going on,
really?
Rob?
Okay, good. I always find that disorienting when you get unmuted. I don't know. Anyway, I've been really amazed by the callers today. I mean, I feel like each caller was like speaking to me directly. That experience of like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That just happened to me. And, mm-hmm. In the radio show today, something I think is really good happening. So, for example, self-hate. So someone was talking about self-hate. And mm-hmm. I had two experiences in the past 3 days where the self-hate or just the ego voices, they would come in and they would just pound away at me. And I didn't seem to be able to do anything about that. And so what I would just try to remember is like, it won't last forever. You know that these voices are not real, that what they're saying is not even rational, and mm-hmm. and just wait it out. But of course, that's mm-hmm. pretty sort of unpleasant to wait and wait and wait, you know. Sometimes it goes away mm-hmm. quickly. But these are two instances where they were there. And I'm like, okay, just mm-hmm. hold on. And what you said earlier, Sherry, was that if you have the awareness, if you can see that they're the voices, and then you also have then the love that you can give yourself, the unconditional love, is also available. Did I follow you correctly?
Right. That's right. And so, because if you can, what you're describing, you can only describe from awareness. If you weren't in awareness, there would be no ability to say, you know, this is really unpleasant, but they're phony voices and it's going to pass. That's not going to happen from ego identification. You're going to believe it. You're going to be miserable. You're going to go along. It's just a completely different scenario.
If I follow correctly, it's once I'm aware of the awareness, I can learn to be aware of the unconditional love that comes with that and shift
That's
from
correct.
This waiting it out, waiting out the misery, to...
That's correct.
Oh, the love is right there. I just need to look towards the love.
That's exactly it. Yeah, look toward the light, look toward the love, all the same thing. And, excuse me, it's what we were talking about just a minute ago. That's that realization that I'm not alone with these voices, right? Awareness. Awareness is aware of these voices. Awareness is love. Those are synonyms. You know, I'm not alone here. I've got the whole power of everything that is available to me. As you say, just turn and look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like the last caller, it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Rob, the light switch can often be thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Because there you are. You are positioned, right? You are seeing it. You. It's a, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're home.
Yes, yes. Wow. Yeah. So the radio show is always good, but there are some days when it's just like, wow, boom. And they happen to be one of those for me. So thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm very glad. Thank you.
And thank you, Ashwini. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Rob. Well, thank you. I guess, Sherry, is how we sign off on this wonderful show. Our assignment today: self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear regarding this process focus? Write down the self-hating messages. Example, if you had a better practice, this wouldn't be hard for you. RL, what you're seeing. Note, never record self-hate messages.
Mm-hmm. And remember that you can only see them from awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 All right. Thank you so much,
Ashwini. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, everybody.